plate a potential nugget.
I'd love to dig into your research around COVID-19 shortly, Ashley. But if I may come back to one other observation you make in the book, which I found intriguing. You say that in professions where you bill money for time, there's a risk of developing an adversarial relationship with time. I've sort of been in professions, and I continue to be in some ways operating in a profession where at some level one is billing for time. Say more about this dynamic.
Yeah, so as we've already been talking about in the course of this conversation, we are very good at prioritizing money as opposed to free time. And we tend to make our decisions more with our finances in mind. And this is even more true for individuals who bill by the hour, consultants, lawyers, contract workers who know the economic value of their time. There's been some great research by Sanford DeVoe and Jeff Pfeiffer at UCLA and Stanford respectively, and I have a paper on this as well, showing that once we know what our time is worth from an economic perspective, we worry about squandering it, about wasting it, about being inefficient. As a result, we make not necessarily great decisions from a happiness perspective. Even asking students to play the role of a consultant in the lab and bill their time by the hour makes students less likely to want to volunteer. They spend more hours working. They are less environmentally sustainable. In one of my studies, they were less likely to go 2 minutes out of their way to recycle because it didn't feel like a good use of their time. And this shows that this mindset of thinking about what our time is worth and seeing time as a means to make money can have negative detrimental consequences for how we allocate our time in terms of activities that we know are good for happiness. We have a forthcoming paper showing that performance incentives, to the extent that they also trigger this financial first mindset, lead employees to prioritize spending time with their colleagues as opposed to spending time or even helping their friends and family, because all of a sudden those colleagues feel instrumental for the goal of making more money. And so it's really important, I think, to understand that once we see our time as money, instead of feeling like we want to spend that time in more valuable ways, we can actually end up spending our time even more obsessed and ingrained in working and earning and engaging in that hamster wheel mentality of always trying to get more. This isn't always the case, but these associations and the causal evidence is pretty reliable. And this can even happen when we start really trying to prioritize our leisure. So there's some research suggesting that when we put leisure activities into our schedules and we plan it very specifically, this can make our leisure feel more like work. And so we don't enjoy it as much. We start ruminating, we worry about it more, and we worry that we're not spending that leisure time in the best way. So we start worrying about the opportunity cost of that leisure time. So my best advice is really to try to, from an organizational perspective, disassociate employees' labor from the economic value of their labor. Even if employees are billed by the hour, trying to decrease the amount that is salient throughout an employee's weeks or months can be very helpful for breaking this link between time and this money mindset. And then when it comes to leisure, we should schedule our leisure, otherwise we might forego it altogether. But we want to be thinking about creating rough schedules, a few ideas of things that we want to do in our downtime, but not planning it to the minute, lest it'll feel like work.
Late Clay Christensen, in his book, How Will You Measure Your Life?, speaks about how we human beings have the propensity to spend time on work because the outcomes are often visible in the short run. He goes on to say that as a result, we miss out on some of the other elements around our health and deprioritize investing in areas such as our personal health, our family, friendships, and community impact. I guess, at some level, that insight could possibly be extended to what Ashley says here. When I was in consulting earlier, one of the partners once pulled me aside and told me, "Do you really know how much an hour of your time is worth?" I hadn't quite thought of it that way till that point in time, he brought it down to our charge out rates and came up with a number, and somehow that stuck with me. I remember that I found the advice helpful at that time, and it helped me make sense of varying priorities in front of me. But what I didn't realize was that it was possibly incomplete advice. There's possibly a subconscious impact of this mindset where you end up over-indexing on monetizing every unit of time today, leading to missing out on all the key balance sheet items: sleep, exercise, friendships, hobbies, relationships with your family, and so on and so forth. Things that replenish us and help us play a long game in our life. Ashley's caution about not attaching a dollar value to your time or not being too swayed by it is a crucial one, and something that I end up falling prey to every now and then given the nature of the work I do. Like most things in life, finding that Goldilocks balance is the key, I guess.